Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A day after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals granted the Trump administration stay on a temporary restraining order preventing the deployment of National Guard members to Portland, Oregon, the DOJ now asking the judge to dissolve the second TRO, a broader order that bans any state's National Guard from deploying. ABC's Louis Martinez says officials in Oregon are challenging yesterday's panel decision.
What the state of Oregon is going to do is they're going to appeal to the larger appeals court that essentially lifted that ban from a federal judge. And now they're going to try to appeal that ruling. And essentially, everything is in a legal hold right now, even though things are progressing much faster than we thought they would.
The push to recover remaining deceased hostages continues in Gaza, along with phase two of getting Hamas to disarm. U.S. top officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance and Israel, working to shore up the ceasefire deal. And the government shut down, now 3 weeks long, with no votes scheduled today. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Are you interested in serving on a city committee? La Crosse's city government is currently looking for volunteers to serve on 8 different committees and boards, including the Redevelopment Authority, Police and Fire Commission, Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, Floodplain Advisory Committee, Housing Authority, Building and Housing Appeals Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Room Tax Commission. If you're interested, you can fill out an application on the City of La Crosse website. Gas prices in Wisconsin continue to trend downwards. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 6.7 cents over the last week for an average across the state of 2.61. This is over 28 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and more than 32 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Notably, the national average has fallen below $3 per gallon for the first time since 2020. Officials at GasBuddy say COVID was the primary driver of low prices at that time. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for the current trend of lower prices. They've steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to stay under $3 for much of the next few months.
If you're a utility customer behind on your bill, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging you to catch up now. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The moratorium period begins November 1st and runs through April 15th. During that time, utilities are prohibited from disconnecting utility service for non-payment when it's used for home heating. If you're currently disconnected, however, you must make arrangements to restore service before the moratorium begins. Utilities are not required to reconnect service until payment arrangements have been made. You can make arrangements directly with your provider or apply for financial assistance. You can find more information and links at energyandhousing.wi.gov.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers play the Steelers this week on Sunday night. Matt LaFleur asked about running back Josh Jacobs demanding to get back in the game against the Cardinals Sunday despite a strained calf muscle.
Yeah, he's a grown man. There's no doubt about it. What he says is always backed up by his actions, and I think that's number one on top of the list of what you need to be in order to be a great leader.
Baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3. To advance to the World Series, Game 1 will be Friday night in Toronto against the Dodgers. Doc Rivers was asked if he still goes golfing with his friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We plan on golf a lot. We never actually get to do it much. But the Brewers, they had an amazing year. And if you're going to lose, you lose to the most historic game in Major League history, and that's how they lost.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Of showers, clouds, and a very stiff west to northwest wind between 35 and 40 miles per hour for your Tuesday afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances wind down. The breeze stays up. Clouds in upper 30s near 50 Wednesday. Currently 46 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media radio network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Ellie Bordeaux will tell us what she's been putting in our daily newsletter at Up North News. And from Civic Media, Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday from the old world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Here in Madison, a quick look outside at the Sam Davidson Street Cam Zommers. A little rain. My mom likes to say, into every life, a little rain must fall. And it was nice earlier. Went over, got some coffee at Wonder State. And now showers have taken into downtown Madison. But, you know, that's part of fall. Overcast and showery once
in a while. Yeah, I would say it's still nice. You know, it's a gentle shower. You wear a coat, you have an umbrella, or you just stand in the doorway and... you're fine.
Right. Need a little moisture. That'll be fine. So hopefully you're enjoying your day as you go throughout the day today in Wisconsin. Going to be a great show today coming up at hour two. We talked about this last Friday when the news broke via the Capital Times. Great reporter Danielle DeClos is going to be here talking about her reporting. She is the enterprise and investigative reporter at the Capital Times. And did this story on Department of Public Instruction in Madison and Dr. Jill Underley, who is the state school superintendent. We talked about this last week. I know our colleagues, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach, along with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, spent a large chunk of time on their show on Friday talking about this as well. And if you have not read it, it's a difficult story. It's a well-written, well-researched story, but it's difficult. And it has to do with over 200 cases of teacher sexual misconduct and grooming cases in the public schools, and the fact that the Capital Times did a open records request and received this information, and the fact that many of these people who were investigated simply gave up their license in exchange for not having the investigations go further. Now, the state school superintendent refused, Dr. Jill Underley refused to, I should say declined, being part of the story, had her spokesperson talk instead, and the spokesperson said it would be a conflict of interest, quote unquote, for Dr. Underley to be interviewed. And so the article came out, and it's disturbing, certainly. And the DPI's position is that, well, we had over $600,000
in our budget request to the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Committee, which was denied. And if we had only had this money to have more people to investigate these things and to process them, they would have seen the light of day. I'm not here to dispute that. But for me, the disturbing part beyond, to me, there's two parts of this. A, the disturbing evidence in these accusations in this story. And then there's the, which I think is, for these purposes, the more concerning part in that Dr. Underley refused to sit for this interview. She has not spoken to media that I know of. And now there is a state assembly committee meeting on Thursday of this week in which she is being asked to testify and to just, you know, let's have a conversation about this. And thus far, we do not know whether she's going to attend that. Her lack of transparency to me is deeply disturbing. And as we've talked about on this program before, I think a good analogy in terms of how you handle things is the stewardship fund, the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Fund, the conservation program that also requested more money in the state budget and got denied. And they've launched, we've had them on this show, Nature Conservancy and other people have launched a public campaign, have been working with legislators in a bipartisan manner to say, okay, we didn't get it in the budget. How can we do a standalone bill? What is unclear, and so far Dr. Underley has not come forward about this, is if this was the major problem that obviously it is based on the Capital Times reporting, why didn't she, and look, I've been in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. I worked for the Senate Majority Leader. When you have a piece of legislation or something in the budget that doesn't get addressed or doesn't get funded, the people who are good at these things have a press packet ready to go, and you call a press conference, and you get the cameras there, and you say, look, these are the facts. These are the evidence I have. We have a major problem in this state in processing these very disturbing cases to keep our kids safe. I just went in there and asked for over $500,000 to address this, and the Republicans said no, which is their right. But I'm here to tell you what the problem is, and I'm asking for the public's help. I'm asking for bipartisan help in the legislature to find a standalone bill that the governor can sign that we can put more monies into these positions to keep our kids safe and process these cases. And Dr. Underley did not do that. I cleaned my desk this weekend, by the way. I spent four hours. Zomers is witness, right?
Yes, your efforts paid off. It is very clean now.
Thank you.
At least compared to before. No, well, it has a normal amount of stuff on it. Yeah, it was pretty nested in before.
It was nested. But one of the advantages to having a top of desk filing system is that I have, you know, and because I don't know if it's because of my dyslexia or whatever it is, if I have an article that I'm going to read from, I read better when I have a piece of paper in my hand. So, yes, I print stuff off every day. I don't just read it off my screen. Some stuff I do, but most of the stuff I print off. And one of the stories that I printed off, this is back from February of 2025. Yes, I had an article from February still sitting on my desk as of this weekend. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline, State Superintendent Skips Forum While Her Challengers Take Questions on Vouchers and More. And it reminded me that this is a person, Dr. Underley, who refused to debate in the election where she got reelected this spring. And it was put on in part by WISP Politics, and WISP Politics president, according to the Journal Sentinel at the time, Jeff Mayers, said he provided two dates to the campaign. Brittany Kinzer, who was the conservative, and Jeff Wright, the fellow progressive, quote, responded right away and chose February 6th. Underley said she had a conflict. Mayers said WISP Politics asked for alternative dates, but her campaign did not provide them. Utterly's campaign said she was unavailable to attend because of a University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents meeting. The DPI superintendent, by virtue of their position, serves as a regent. Utterly missed at least a part of the board's education meeting that began at 10:30 because she held a 10:30 press conference in Madison to discuss Head Start programs that have been unable to access funding under a freeze issued by President Trump. The Head Start programs provides, it goes on to talk about Head Start. The WISC Politics Forum took place from noon until 1, overlapping with the board's scheduled lunch break. Utterly's campaign offered no clarity as to why Utterly missed at least part of the Board of Regents meeting, but could not skip the board's lunch break. Her campaign referred questions about her to the DPI. The DPI said Utterly participated in the press conference because it's important to share the local effects of federal government decisions. A spokesperson said the lunch break allowed the board to eat before continuing the meeting. I mean, that's a half a page in this story about the state school superintendent debate forum simply making excuses and explaining why Utterly not only didn't participate in the board meeting, or the forum, but also skipped out on part of her duties to the Board of Regents meeting because she scheduled her own press conference, which she could have had any time. I bring that up now because I think it's important to establish the pattern here. And by the way, when we first started this show, three years next month, Jill Utterly came on this program. I don't know, 2 or 3 times. I thought it went well. And then all of a sudden, she just stopped coming on. And to my knowledge, maybe to one, we asked her to come on our show last year during the state school superintendent race, and nothing, crickets. She skips the debate to get reelected to her own position. And now, not talking to reporters. And not only that, late Friday, she came out with a statement claiming that the story about how her department conducts investigations is inaccurate and demanded a public correction on an article claiming the Department of Public Instruction had hidden its investigation of 200 cases of sexual misconduct and grooming from school staff. Quote, "The reporting is not only incomplete and misleading, it is dangerously irresponsible," unquote. "It distorts the nature of the DPI's work in this area, omits crucial legal and procedural facts, and undermines public trust in the same systems designed to protect Wisconsin students," unquote. But yet she doesn't say what that is. By the way, Capital Times editor Mark Tarrin told Senator Squares from Senator Square late Friday afternoon, quote, "We stand by our reporting and expect to have a more complete response by Monday." So Jill Utterly's tactic here is to pull a Donald Trump to attack the reporter and the press. I don't know what's up with this person. I think it's disqualifying, quite frankly. We're going to have Danielle Duclos from the Cap Times on this show in hour number 2. Oh, and by the way, more news regarding the Department of Public Instruction, this time from the Wisconsin Public Radio. By the way, Capital Times, Wisconsin Public Radio, not exactly right-wing news organizations, right? Headline, audit finds nearly a quarter of Wisconsin schools missed financial deadlines. The Legislative Audit Bureau made 22 recommendations to DPI to improve procedures. The Legislative Audit Bureau is a nonpartisan part of the government, run for years by Jan Mueller, has a stellar reputation. They found about 20% of independent charter schools, 10% of schools in the parental choice program also missed the statutory deadline for submitting financial paperwork. The financial reports from schools and school districts are necessary for DPI to calculate state aid payments to ensure educational entities are financially viable and certify all districts and schools are complying with legal requirements. The legislative audit bureau found something else out. I'm going to tell you what it is on the other side. And by the way, where is the concern, the criticism, the press release from Democrats in the state of Wisconsin? There is none. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Glad to have you along. Aaron Zommers on the board as we welcome you back in here. Coming up a little bit later, going to be talking to Danielle DeClos about an hour from now, a little bit more. The Enterprise investigative reporter at the Capital Times on this story she broke last week about DPI and Superintendent Jill Underley on the over 200 teacher sexual misconduct issues and the lack of reporting thereof. And she'll be with us, and we're going to ask her some of these things, give her the opportunity, I should say, because Underley put out a rebuttal on Friday, and so we'll ask Danielle about that. But also yesterday, Wisconsin Public Radio out, stating that an independent audit of the Department of Instruction, public instruction, found about a quarter of Wisconsin's school district missed the deadline to file financial statements for the 2022-23 school year. Well, you say, okay, fine. I mean, not fine, but I mean, that's the district's fault. They didn't do their job. Right, correct. Don't disagree. But according to Wisconsin Public Radio, the auditors at the Legislative Audit Bureau, a nonpartisan entity, also found DPI did not begin to review reports for more than 2 months after the December 15th deadline to submit. and failed to track how the reviewing team spent its time. Auditors issued at least one financial reporting deficiency or weakness in control over financial reporting for 370 of the 421 school districts. DPI policies require schools submit plans describing actions they will take to address each deficiency. Again, whether it's the story from the Capital Times we're going to talk with the reporter about in hour two, or whether it's this story from Wisconsin Public Radio, the deeply concerning part in terms of policy, politics, and institutions is who's running the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin right now? I mean, it's either being mismanaged or unmanaged. And again, this is reporting from the Capital Times and Wisconsin Public Radio. Dr. Underly has a responsibility to the taxpayers of this state and to the voters of this state and the children of this state to have her posterior in a seat in a committee hearing this Thursday in the state capitol. And if she's unwilling to do that and unwilling to take questions in public, that in my opinion, she ought to tender her resignation and allow Governor Evers to appoint a replacement. And I think the runner-up of the contest, Jeff Wright, would be a great candidate. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to WCFW in Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire, thanks for listening. Gene, what say you?
Hello, sir, and I really appreciate your caring and that you care about our state, that you care about kids, and you're passionate, and I love you for it. But I have to say, I read the articles too, and that it was very confusing to me because there were over 200, they said, teachers, but then later they said staff, aides, substitutes, and different things that were added into this. So I'm very confused by this report. In addition to that, I think that, it's been a while since I've been in the school system, but I think that that stuff has to be reported to the police, but, you know, when there's accusations of abuse. So I think that there needs to be more understanding of, you know, how was this handled, but they also have to be very careful for students' names, for situations, and for the teachers. So this is involved when you have sexual abuse. Let's look at the Epstein files, you know?
Yeah, I mean, let's do that. I'm 100% on board, but don't agree or disagree that Democrats who are calling for the release of the Epstein files, and I'm not a Democrat, but I'm also calling for the release of Epstein. If anybody's going to call for the release of Epstein files, shouldn't we also call for transparency in our own Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction for making? And we're not talking about victims' names, Gene. This is a matter of people who said, and this isn't going into the criminal realm yet, but in exchange for having internal investigations dropped, they surrendered their licenses. And there's no way, in my understanding, we'll ask the reporter, there's no way for other districts or other jobs that might involve working with kids to know why they surrendered their license. We're not talking about releasing names. We're talking about transparency so we know that people that, I mean, yeah. What are the instances, if you read the story, and I'm not going to get too graphic, but there was an adult male teacher who allegedly went on a trip with high school girls and was rubbing suntan lotion on the tops of their breasts when they had, I mean, who does that? Who in the right mind does
that?
Doesn't the public have to know if this guy surrendered his teaching license? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't there at least be the public right to know, hey, maybe don't hire this guy because he's got a problem, allegedly?
And then, too, can I add something here? Is that nobody, they should be having chaperones. They shouldn't be sending girls with a teacher like that, they should be having chaperones.
Sure.
This whole thing is bad.
But I'm up against the clock, but don't you think that Jill Underly has a responsibility to answer questions publicly about this?
Well, I hope she does, because this is really needs to be open But I think we got to get the facts here.
Agreed.
On what's going on. And thank you very much for covering it, because that was very interesting to me. And why does that school district let those girls go with
appreciate it. Thank you, Gene. Really appreciate it. Come on back. We're going to change gears a bit. We'll revisit this topic in hour number two. Talk about Donald Trump, why he's crying for Argentina on the other side.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX. A lot of conversation about the aging population involved in Wisconsin agriculture. So as you age and your body gets frail, how can you keep getting chores done? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. We're going to find out about one tool that does help farmers get the job done, even when their body starts failing them. That story next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Obviously, not every surface in Wisconsin agriculture is flat and easy to maneuver. Monica Spaney knows all about it. She's president and co-founder of Accessibility Wisconsin, and her goal, trying to create wheelchairs that let farmers continue to do the things they love on the challenging terrain they do it with.
So the chairs can be used at family farms for a variety of things. Do their regular chores. They could broadcast seed. They could help pick weeds. The thing is because they can go over, you know, corn stalks and rocks, it helps them to still be able to participate with their family on the farm activities. They could even go into the hen house and pick out the eggs if they wanted to.
Monica Spaney, president and co-founder of Accessibility Wisconsin. The all-terrain wheelchairs they've been able to create not only help farmers continue to do the jobs they love, it also increases their independence, decreases depression, and generally lifts a big cloud from the entire family.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game.
Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course. Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick.
It's good!
Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Commodity groups and farm organizations reacting to President Trump's comments yesterday that he'd like to reduce beef prices to consumers by increasing beef imports from Argentina. Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, said they're urging the administration to carefully consider the damage importing more beef and cattle from other countries and the impact it could have on cattle farmers here as they try to rebuild America's herds. That's Food News. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Of showers, clouds, and a very stiff west to northwest wind between 35 and 40 miles per hour for your Tuesday afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. Tonight, shower chances wind down. The breeze stays up. Clouds in upper 30s near 50 Wednesday. Currently 46 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sick the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
Welcome back. Keep it plain. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio. I feel like, unfortunately, the windows don't open up. Wouldn't it be great? Because I could be outside on the balcony and it's blaring this song.
And sing in the rain.
Yeah,
you know?
Just like in the Madonna, the great Madonna there. Lady Gaga could nail this, by the way, if you want to do a remake. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zommers on the tunes there, spinning a little Madonna, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. It's 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Also, to tease ahead, as they say, a political story blowing up today as well on a Trump nominee, which is even a bridge too far for Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. Even Rojo said, no, probably can't support that. We'll tell you what that's all about in a minute. But first, and I hope our friends in the ag industry, we just got done at the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke, Ben Jarbo, and their great staff, as we do every day at the bottom of the hour. I hope my friends in the ag industry, particularly the beef industry, nobody loves beef more than me. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Wisconsin Beef Council. And right now, beef prices are at historically high costs, or high prices, which for a consumer, you know, a little difficult. But for beef farmers, this is like they struggle, and they try to get by. But you kind of live for markets like this once in a while, where you kind of make up some of those monies that you lost. Great for Wisconsin beef farmers right now. But I still owe my friends Kurt and Florcy for my portion of the steer we bought this year. I better get that taken care of quickly.
We got to make good on that.
I got to make good. I'm not going to get any more beef. We went together. We bought one of the great 4-H auctions down at Greene County. We bought a quarter steer together. And Hosley Meats in New Glarus processed it. You got Richland Locker and Richland Center. You got Prem Meats in Spring Green. I mean, you got all kinds of great independent lockers. And that's where I recommend that you buy your beef if you can.
Absolutely. But, Todd needs to go see a man about a steer. That's what's happening.
That's exactly right. But here now, I hope you, if you're a beef farmer, if you're a supporter of local beef, listen up. Donald Trump was flying back on his Air Force One from Mar-a-Lago playing golf this weekend. And the reporters asked him about it was 20 when we had Pam Yonke on the program a couple of weeks or two ago. It was 20. Now Donald Trump wants to give Argentinian farmers a $40 billion bailout to help Argentina. He was asked about it on Air Force One.
Question is, what do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them,
Argentina's fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it. They're fighting for their life. Nothing's benefiting Argentina. They're fighting for their life. You understand what that means? They have no money. They have no anything. They're fighting so hard to survive. If I can help them survive in a free world, I happen to like the president of Argentina. I think he's trying to do the best he can, but don't make it sound like they're doing great. They are dying. All right? What? They're dying.
He is very concerned about Argentinian farmers. You understand? I think there's a lot of farmers in Wisconsin say, I wish he felt that way about us. Just get rid of the tariffs, and we'll be fine. We played this yesterday, but I want to play it again. It's not that long. Trump was then asked on the same trip over the weekend on Air Force One on Sunday about the beef, about what's going on, and here's his response.
With soybeans and on Argentina, you're looking to do that deal with Argentina, the bail swap. So,
I assume you're talking about beef. Yeah, to get beef prices down. The only price we have that's high is beef, and we'll get that down. And one of the things we're thinking about doing is beef from Argentina.
So he thought it was about soybeans at first, and then it changed up. So he wants to help out. In order to get beef prices down for the consumers in Wisconsin, he wants to bring in more Argentinian beef to flood the market with foreign food products to bring the prices down so that Wisconsin beef farmers get less.
Isn't that what the hat says? Make Argentina great again?
not exactly, but yeah. The A stands for America, but you're on the right track there, Summers. And by the way, you know, the soybean deal, if you just get rid of the tariffs, then U.S. Farmers could sell their soybeans to China. China's already done a back-end deal with South American farmers, some of them in Argentina, by the way. So Argentina's looking pretty good if you're a farmer in Argentina. If you're a farmer in Wisconsin, not so much. So here now, yesterday, posted on social media is the president of the Nebraska Farm Bureau. Again, Farm Bureau, not exactly your left-wing organization. Farm Bureau, pretty conservative. I mean, there are certainly Democrats involved in Farm Bureau, but this is the president of the Nebraska Farm Bureau in response to Trump saying he wants to bail out farmers in Argentina and also flood the U.S. markets with Argentinian beef.
Hello, ag friends. Hopefully your fall is going well. You know, some days you feel like you just can't catch a break in agriculture, but the cattle sector is one of the real bright spots here in the industry, and certainly in Nebraska, where we have a lot of mama cows. But unfortunately, we have administration that thinks that they need to lower the price of beef. President Trump on Friday actually made a statement that said we should lower the price of beef, and ultimately that's lowering the price of cattle. That's not something we need to do. I just want our members to know that Nebraska Farm Bureau is adamantly opposed to anything that would artificially lower the price of beef. We have worked hard to get our cattle market where it is. It's a supply and demand issue right now. But quite frankly, we need this bright spot here in Nebraska. So I have communicated with all of our federal delegation and let them know that we are opposed to any move that would artificially lower the price of beef cattle. They have worked that up to the leadership already today. And so stay tuned as we kind of follow this story. Hopefully we can get this tamped down. But just want to make sure that you know that I'm doing everything that I can as your president of Nebraska Farm Bureau to ensure that our beef sector here in Nebraska and the country continues to thrive. Until next time.
So there you go. There's the head of the Nebraska Farm Bureau saying politely, yeah, President Trump, you're screwing us over here. You want to flood the market here with foreign beef, which is only going to hurt our beef farmers in Nebraska, and it'd be the same thing for beef farmers here in Wisconsin. And just like we were talking about with the Jill Underly DPI story, which we're going to come back to here next hour, and you don't hear Democrats speaking out about this, either elected Democrats or Devin Remicker, the new chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I don't. It might be nice to say we're very concerned about this, and we urge Dr. Underly to sit before a committee hearing on Thursday to answer questions. We have full confidence in her. But no, nothing, just crickets. By the same token, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, it is a I'll say a right-leaning organization, not hard right, but not like MAGA right, but there are more people in Farm Bureau that have more Republican-leaning tendencies than Democratic. Again, not to say there aren't some Democrats who are members of Farm Bureau or some legislators who have been supportive of Farm Bureau, but based on my experience over the years, it tends to be more right-leaning. I'm looking at their website right now, Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Where is the press release from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau in basically what we just heard from the Nebraska Farm Bureau? Nothing. Crickets. Where's Republican legislators in this state, like Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz in Southwest Wisconsin? Andre Jacques in Door County. Where's the outrage from Republican Wisconsin legislators and press releases calling for Donald Trump not to flood the Wisconsin market with foreign beef? Where are the press releases from Farm Bureau and Republican legislators in this state, from Brian Arthur Schimming at the Wisconsin Republican Party, calling on Trump to get rid of these tariffs that are hurting Wisconsin farmers? Nothing. Crickets. 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Charles in Milwaukee, listening on WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Charles, thanks for listening. We'll see you.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. So I swear, I think sometimes he just talks to hear himself talk, because he mentioned that, well, we're giving them the money because they're dying. They're so basically saying that they're starving. Well, I know in third world countries, in places in Africa, and that they're starving too. But if I'm correct, didn't they take away money?
Right, USAID money, yeah.
USA, right. And Todd, I remember when I first heard this story about the $20 billion to Argentina, and I read up on it. I thought when I read up on it, it was basically this guy was doing horrible as the president, and so they were going to give him this money to try to help bail him out so he looks good in the upcoming election.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. I mean, it just makes no sense, right, Charles? I mean, they're fighting against U.S. interests on this. I mean, the Trump administration, they're clearly not putting Wisconsin farmers, ag producers, or even consumers at the forefront.
But Todd, he only cares about himself. At some point, his supporters, they will either realize it or they will sink in a boat with him. He only cares about himself. And like they always say, follow the money.
Yeah.
No, I think here will benefit him financially.
Right. Well, it's always about him. But look what he's doing in the White House right now. Tearing down the East Wing just to build his own ballroom, for goodness sake.
Yeah. My wife told me, and I'm like, what in the world? She said, I don't know if this is real or not. And yeah, could you imagine, Todd, what conservatives would be saying if Barack Obama would have did that?
Oh, my gosh.
He would have torn down part of the White House for a ballroom?
Yeah.
They would have swearing down that he was a terrorist, and they got to go in and get him. I don't understand the silence.
Yeah,
it is so much silence.
I don't get it either. People either don't want to go against their own party. They don't want to. Everybody's tribal, right? It's like, well, if they're on our side, we can't criticize it. Democrats don't want to criticize Jill Underly. Republicans don't want to criticize Donald Trump. If they belong to our tribe, got to keep our mouths shut.
No.
And that's part of what's wrong with politics today.
Yeah. People are being hurt by by people not saying anything.
Appreciate the call, Charles. Have a great day down there in beautiful Milwaukee. Come back with more calls on the other side, 855-752-4842. Know how in the White House you have the Dolly Madison room? That's right. Apparently now, a lot of people are saying the new Trump room, ballroom, will be called the Stormy Daniels Ballroom.
Balls room?
Come on back.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In 2023, under pressure from election conspiracy activists, Texas and 9 other red states left the multi-state cooperative called ERIC, which helped to keep state voter rolls clean. 2 years later, local election officials are asking Texas state election officials for immediate fixes to its reportedly erratic homegrown voter registration system called TEAM. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1070 in June 2023, authorizing state officials to create a state-run interstate voter registration cross-check system. Over 2 years later, and on the eve of the TEAM system's rollout, VoteBeat Texas reports that 4 organizations representing Texas election officials cited inconsistent system behavior, only intermittent and under-resourced support, and statewide training gaps. Just last month, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson announced agreements with 9 states to share and compare voter registration data in an effort to replace the Electronic Registration Information Center's sophisticated data processing capability to identify voters who moved, died, or registered in more than one state. The Texas election officials said in their letter, "The current state of the TEAM rollout creates undue risk to voters and the integrity of election officials," and urged action before November 4th. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm.
Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us here on a Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. Zomer's on the board spinning the tunes. Talk a little bit about Donald Trump wanting to bail out Argentinian farmers because they're dying. They're dying, Trump says. What about Wisconsin farmers? Many who will be forced out of business this year, either because of tariffs, because the inability to find workers, because they're leaving. What about Wisconsin farmers? 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick, listening in Waukesha, VAUK. Rick, I'm up against the clock. If you can make it quick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is really interesting about this Argentina. You know, Texas and the oil industry are pretty close with the beef. Where's the beef?
Right, where's the beef?
You know, have a good day.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, Rick. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye-bye. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Couple minutes here before the top of the hour. I want to get to this political story as well. Zavers, is this on the topic? All right, let's go quickly to beautiful Merrill, Wisconsin, to Cornell, listening on WXCO out of beautiful Wausau. We were just there last week. Cornell's in Merrill. Cornell, welcome to the program. What say you?
Yeah, well, you're talking about the Argentina farmers, but I'm quite upset that, well, Trump, he shouted at Zelensky, and he's not giving him any help. But I just want to mention on the farmers, Kalen Robertson made a documentary. He's a 27-year-old independent reporter in Ukraine on the front lines. And he had this documentary. It's on YouTube called The Farmers of Kherson. And they're just killing the farmers. They want to plant. They want to grow. And Trump never condemned this. It's really a horrible situation out there. And he made this documentary, and we really have to help Ukraine, the farmers and all of Ukraine, because we signed the Budapest Memorandum to protect Ukraine. And I was out there at the rally, the No Kings rally, and it was a great turnout. We had even Captain America on a skateboard going down the road.
Nice.
You know, no, 6'1", he was about 6'1", and I walked through the crowd with my posters, and also I'm really upset with Trump because he should be helping Ukraine. There's been 700 children killed, 13,000 civilians killed in apartments, and it's really quite upsetting that I hope we call in for these Tomahawk missiles. He's refused the Tomahawk missiles too,
right,
President Zelensky, but
I appreciate the call, Cornell. I'm up against the clock, but I appreciate your call up there, beautiful Merrill. Yeah, we haven't had time to get too deep into Ukraine, but you're absolutely right. I agree that Zelensky was in Washington last week, and Trump basically crapped on him and said, you should settle with Putin now and let Putin keep all the land that he has now. And it's disturbing, to say the least. We'll see what happens this next summit over in Europe. Zavers?
Meanwhile, Argentinians are dying. You have no idea how bad it is, right. Trump says.
That's what Trump says. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I get this quickly. We finally found someone Ron Johnson can no longer vote for a nominee. This, according to Politico, who broke the story. Paul Ingrassa, President Donald Trump's embattled nominee to lead the office of the special counsel, told a group of fellow Republicans in a text chain the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday should, quote, be tossed into the seventh circle of hell, unquote, and said that he has, quote unquote, a Nazi streak, according to a text chain viewed by Politico. Ingrassa, who has a Senate confirmation scheduled for a hearing scheduled for Thursday, made the remarks in a chain with a half dozen Republican operatives and influencers, according to the chat. Quote, MLK Jr. was the 1960s George Floyd, and his quote-unquote holiday should be ended and tossed into the seventh circle of hell where it belongs, unquote, Ingrassa wrote in January of 2024. Goes on to talk about more used an Italian slur for black people, which I will not repeat here on the air, but says that these holidays honoring anybody other than whites, every quote, every single one needs to be eviscerated, unquote. Politico interviewed two people in the chat, granted them immunity after they expressed concern about personal and professional repercussions. One retained the messages and showed the text chain in its entirety to Politico, which independently verified the number listed on the chain belongs to Ingrassa. The person said he came to forward it because he wants, to, quote, the government to be staffed with experienced people who are taken seriously, unquote. The second person has since deleted the chain and didn't recall specifics about it, but did confirm the discussions took place. Paul and Ron Johnson yesterday came out and said, nope, can't vote for that. So congrats. Congrats to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. We finally found a red line. Something that apparently Ron Johnson will not. Apparently, when it's blatant in a text confirmed by Politico, Ron Johnson said that's a bridge too far. So far, as of last check, 3 hours ago or so, Paul Ingrassa is still scheduled to be voted on. So, as they say, there's that. It's a fire hose of information. You understand, Zomers?
It really is.
We could do a half an hour on that, right?
We could. There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. All right, coming up for hour two, a Wisconsin fun fact for you. Also, what's worse, trying not to sneeze or trying not to yawn. And at the bottom of the next hour, we will retake another look at this story on Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction Superintendent Jill Underley, the story by Danielle DeClos, Enterprise and investigative reporter at the Cap Times, will be here with us. The reporter will, and we'll talk about this more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday, October 21st, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The government shutdown now in day 21. The Senate will take up another vote tomorrow on a measure to end it, but the stalemate continues over Democrats calling for negotiations to extend health benefits. The impacts of the shutdown being felt from critical food programs like SNAP to flight delays as air traffic controllers deal with shortages and now sick calls. ABC's Perry Russum has more.
Delays are happening in Dallas, Atlanta, and Newark. You have these workers who are working their jobs, very stressful jobs, knowing they are not getting paid. So now some of them are calling out, trying to find other work elsewhere to put food on the table, keep the roof over their heads. Many of them have mortgages, so they're trying to find other ways of income.
President Trump blasting Democrats, he says, for the shutdown at a luncheon for Republicans today, touting the new ballroom planned at the White House. Demolition began yesterday. Top Trump officials in Israel, including Vice President J.D. Vance, working to shore up a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas after skirmishes. This is ABC News.